Now, the Treasury Department has flagged significant reforms to the Big Four consultancy firms. It comes as investigations continue into whistleblower allegations that the accounting firm KPMG misused confidential client information. Assistant Treasurer Daniel Molino canvassed some of the potential options on Breakfast earlier this week.
One of them is operational separation, where, for example, a large audit firm might be told by the regulations that it cannot provide both audit and non-audit services to the same client. A stronger intervention would be structural separation, whereby a firm might have to separate its functions and not be able to provide non-audit functions if it is an audit firm.
That's the Assistant Treasurer Daniel Molino speaking to me on Wednesday. Now, Brendan Lyon is a former KPMG partner who blew the whistle on practices at the firm in 2021. He's now Professor of Practice in the Faculty of Business and Law at the University of Wollongong. Brendan Lyon, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Great to be with you, Melissa. Thank you.
Now, can you tell me broadly, what do you make of the options that have been outlined in this paper?
Look, I mean, many of the options are sensible and, you know, some of them should have been done long ago, like licensing individual audit firms. But I guess when I read through the discussion paper that's been put out, it's apparent that it's really talking about tinkering with the special deals that leave the Big Four as, you know, in effect, huge pseudo-corporations that operate outside of the corporations law and exempt from damages. It seems to me that if that's the problem, the solution must include looking at whether the Big Four are simply required to become corporations like the rest of the actors in the economy, are required to pay corporate income tax, and are unabashedly accountable to both whistleblower laws and the other duties and obligations of the corporations law. So, you know, in some ways I haven't seen any argument in favour of continued special treatment for the Big Four and similar firms. And that's what we've got to really accept, is the reason that they operate in the way that they do is because they're given two exemptions. They're exempt from corporations law and they're exempt from the laws of negligence. I think it's time that we look at both of those exemptions because they've provided or produced distinctly bad outcomes.
Yeah, the Big Four regulated as partnerships. Can you explain some of the limitations of the state laws in that space?
Look, partnerships are meant to be limited to 20 or less people. They're intended to operate for small firms where people have where the partners have unlimited joint and several liability. Through the customization or special regulations and special laws, the Big Four operate as enormous partnerships of up to 1,000 partners, which means in practice they operate as managerially controlled corporations. They're run by CEOs, chairs, as we've seen, several of those have been forced to retire in disgrace in the last couple of years. But in effect, these firms are operating as, you know, as corporations with limited liability, revenues of $2.5 billion or more per year, but they are regulated as if they're 10 or 20 suburban accountants sharing the cost of an office and secretarial support. It's a crazy situation. We know from large corporations and corporate executives that if they're left unmonitored and unaccountable, they will behave badly seeking profit. We know that, and as a result, we've got thousands of pages of corporations law regulations and precedents. These four firms and ones like them operate without any of those constraints. So it seems, you know, it's in one sense, it's logical that they would do anything for cash because that's precisely the incentive they have.
So can I ask, when it comes to the way that they are governed, do you think the idea that has been put forward by Daniel Molino, that they could look at putting a cap on the number of partners as a way to try and ensure there is better governance, do you think that would lead to any improvement, or do you think that is just fundamentally the wrong way to be looking, and it should be looking
at
being brought in
under corporations law? Well, I think it's the wrong way to be looking at it because, I mean, as it stands today, KPMG Australia is actually two partnerships, one legal partnership and one accounting partnership. So already they could have 800 partners under the model that's being proposed today. So, you know, I think we need to recognise them for what they are in substance rather than what they want to be in terms of legal form. And we should approach them in that way. I really do think at a time where Australia's struggling to balance the books, providing a massive tax exemption to things that are in practice very large unregulated corporations provides them with an enormous competitive advantage, but it also strips us of around $1 billion a year of taxes that would otherwise be paid.
And just very briefly, we know that there's also some examination being undertaken on protection for whistleblower laws, including incentives for people to call out misconduct. Do you think that's the right direction?
Look, I think that, I think the path we're on at the moment is the wrong one. If you have a look at all of the large public scandals that have happened in the last 5 years that have been surfaced by publicly minded whistleblowers, you see that the result for them has been career destruction, ostracism, and really fundamental change to their lives. That's unfair. These are the people who are putting their own interests behind the interests of the rest of us. Very clearly, the laws that affect whistleblowers in the corporate sector are questionably applied. Those that apply to public servants have failed, and there are no whistleblower protections in partnerships law. So clearly it must be addressed.
Brendan Lyon, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. I really appreciate your time.
Great to be with you.